So Chodesh Tov, holding on 45 days, is Sfirat HaOmer, Daf Lamed Zayin, Amud Aleph, in Masechet Shabbat, in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, Tov Shin Samachei, here we go. So, yesterday we had the question of how it is we're to learn our Mishnah. We didn't have any riots, but we had two fundamentally different approaches to the Mishnah. Approach number one that we entertained was a Mishnah de lo kechananya. So according to that, we actually were originally in the Mishnah questioning what the din is of Shehiyah. And Shehiyah would only be mutar after Grifa or Katima. And then we had an additional machlokas about Chazara at the end. The second way of learning was precisely as Chananya said. Chananya holds there's no problem in a non-grufa viketuma even to be mashe, because you're being mashe from the daytime. So, well, who cares, you know? We don't have any chashash at that point. As long as it's already cooked to the point at which it's edible. So it's kemachal ben drusai, that's sufficient, and then you don't have to worry about anything, whatever the anything is. Maybe you come to Bichote Begechalema, we know it's a general question, or whether perhaps it's Mirzikim Avashel on Shabbos, which seems to be more Nogea Chazora, rather than actual Shehiyah. Fine. The explanation, according to that, of the Reisha, was that the Reisha was really talking about Chazora, and we explained the Chazora issue at the end, just to make it clear. We don't know yet how to understand the Mishnah. But the major difference will be whether you can be mashe miba'od yom on a kira she'ina rufa v'ketumah. That's what the problem boils down to, really. Do we hold like Chananya, or do we not hold like Chananya? Says the Gemara today, we're going to attempt to bring a raya toshma. So we're now a quarter of the way down. Toshma. Diom Reb Chalvo Am Reb Chama Baguria Omarav Lo shanu ela al gaba, aval etocha asur. Here Rav is quoted as saying that the Mishnah is only a reference, I mean, lo shanu mashman is the heter of the Mishnah. The heter of the Mishnah is referring only to where you put something on top of the kira. Aval etocha asur, if you're going to put something down inside and you're actually going to have it on the fire, instead of just above it where the heat's coming up, then you're not allowed to do it. Now, if you understand that the Mishnah all along was talking about, you need a bang? If you understand that the Mishnah all along was talking about lahachzir, and lahachzir even in the duration, whereas lishot is mutter, as we said, according to Chananya, and therefore would be even in a grufa. So now Rav would be discussing the heter of allowing things. So he's saying, Lo Shonu. Lo Shonu, that we allow you to do the Shehiyah. So then I understand that, what are you going to say? Lo Shonu al Gaba, aval tochasu. So now, if you're going to tell me that we're talking about Lachzir, makes sense that there's a difference between Tocha and Gaba, because I mean, there's a real fire in there. Remember, the way that we're learning that it's lahazir, that means, but lishod, there's no problem. Leave it. Even in a grufa, in a ketuma. Obviously, I got a real fire inside the thing. I understand that there may be a difference between putting something on a real fire or on top. That makes a great deal of sense. But if you're going to tell me that the Reisha, when it says it's mutter, the Reisha was talking about mutter only if it's grufa, in a ketuma on Shehiyah. I understand. So what's the difference? So mali tocha, mali al gabah. There's no fire here anyway. So what's the difference? You got a hot stove. No. It's hot here, it's hot there, it's hot there. But there's no real significant difference, is there, between putting it inside or putting it on the side? So over there, if you're going to need to do grifa viketima, and the way you're understanding the Mishnah would be shaloki chananya, and we have two separate sections, one talking about Shehiyah and one talking about Chazara, this doesn't make any sense. Why would there be an afkamina between putting it in or putting it on top if it's all basically just hot in the same way. Okay, now, no, let's first finish it, okay, and then I'll come back and explain what the problem is.
Is it the same because it's gruesome?
Sorry?
Is it the same because it's gruesome?
Because you're telling me only if it's grufa I can do it. So if I can do it only if it's grufa. So what's the difference on top, inside? It's all the same thing.
And there's no shabiyat and there's no bechol.
Can we please keep it calm and simple first? Then we'll go back and try to understand the logic of it. So that seems to prove clearly that the mishnas eliyamet lishot. Not if you're going to tell me that the ratio was talking about Shehiyah, Mali Tocha, Mali Al Gabah. So this seems to prove conclusively that the Mishnah was discussing only Chazor, and there was only one case, which is then explained at the end here. And then as far as what the implications are, is that when it comes to Shehiyah, you don't need grief of the Ketima. That would be like Chanan seems to prove it. Says the Gemara, well, it only seems to prove it if we accept your assumption that what Reb Chalva was referring to was on the Reisha that said, Ad Shehi Grof. But if you do the Grifa, it's Mutter, right? So then you're right. If you did the Grifa, what's the point of Nafka Mina between inside or outside? But why can't Reb Chalva be referring to the Seifa? The Seifa said La'achzir. It's Mutar La'achzir. So over there, if you're talking about La'achzir on Shabbos, then clearly there could be an afkamina, no? So Reb Chalva, Reisha Koya, Seifa Koya, Beis Hillel says afmachziri. Comes along Reb Chalva, Reb Chama Baguri, I'm a rab. Wait a minute here. You're talking about putting something back on the oven. Nu. Loshanu el al gaba, aval tocha asur. What are you going to do? You're going to put something inside on Shabbos? Even if it would be growth of the ketumah, I mean, there it already, certainly it's mitzikim avashon, you're doing something, it's an uvdidachol, we can see that there may be significant differences here between inside and outside, which don't come into play when it's an Erev Shabbos. What those significant differences are not spelled out, yeah? Now, remember that we had a shaila, according to Rashi, the understanding of the perek was a continuation of din of hatmona. And putting something on a kira was similar to matmin. According to Tos, it has nothing to do with hatzmana. Because, first of all, if it did, I mean, then none of this makes sense. Because even if you do grief of the ketima, it's still going to be moshe teva, which Rashi disagrees with, because it's in the process of cooling down. And furthermore, the definition of the word hatzmana is that something is completely covered. Not that something is near a warm thing. How is this thing completely covered? Rashi Lashitoso continues with his svara, and he says, I understand if it's tocho, then it's real hatmana. So that is according to him, the difference between the case of where it's tocho and algabo is a question of you're being matmin now in a dover that's mosif hevel, because you're being matmin mamish in remits, let's say, if you were kotein. Okay, so there I understand it's a problem. So here, basically, according to Rashi, the Gemara would be introducing the distinctions that Tosus made. If you tell me you can leave it on top of the gira, okay, that's one issue. So tell me you put it in, so then if it's still hot, so then I understand that indeed may be similar to Shema Yachta, I'm doing it on the remits itself. The Rabbeinu Hanano points out, because over here it's only because of Shema Yachta on actual remits, not because of Mosif Hevel. Furthermore, it doesn't say it has to be completely Mechusa, it just says it goes down on top of it. The only Shiloh is Shema Yachta. Now, the Rabbeinu Hanano points out that all of this is an exercise in futility, according to Rashi. Because he can't deny the fact that at the end, what did we come out saying? At the end we come out saying that when it comes to Chazora, so then we're perfectly happy to make the nafkamina. Why? It's Grufa Viketuma. Tell me what the nafkamina is, for God's sake. So in other words, there's clearly some other issue. Rashi's making this big thing. If I put it in, if you're telling me there's remits there, then I can understand it. If there's no remits there, what's nafkamina? So he's dealing with dinim of atma. No, and if you're talking about chazara, tell me. So what's the nafkamina? There the Gemara is perfectly happy. No, you thought he was talking about shehiyah. What's he talking about? He was talking about chazara. Good. So now tell me. Elamai, we're dealing with anyway, points out Tosis, we're dealing with anyway a very complex mixture of various elements that need to be balanced. Correct? I mean, even if you tell me we have a concept of Shema Yachta, I mean, is there no difference in a Shema Yachta where you're going to be doing something, a pula on Shabbos or before Shabbos? And if you tell me Mirzik and Mavasho, isn't that enough, Kamina? And now we have to mix this with our bouquet of the question of how well cooked is it, and is it going to be, are you going to be worried about having it overcooked, and having your water boiling out? I mean, there's a million issues over here. Don't come at me and try to make this all a black and white question of whether it is Atmana or not Atmana. You yourself are going to have to say, well, when it came to Chazora, then even though there was no question of Shema Yachta B'Gecholim, because there weren't any, because we're talking about a Grufa, nonetheless, you were happy, Rashi. What did you say about that? I noticed that you very conspicuously leave your peers blank on that. And he does. He doesn't say anything. So in other words, you're ready to accept that we're dealing here with a balance of factors. And the Gemara says it's a reasonable balance that if you're talking about on Shabbos, to be mechalik between doing something that's a pula putting inside. So how do you know that that wasn't the question over here too? Don't try to make it so completely well-defined. It's not such a well-defined issue. Fine. So meanwhile, we come out that we don't have a raya from Reb Chalbo Omer Rav. Because Lamaisa, it may well be that he's referring to Chazora, talking about the Sefer, in which case there's no implications of what he held the Reisha was talking about. Maybe the Reisha was talking about Chazora, and then Shehiya would be okay, but that he wasn't dealing with. And maybe the Reisha was talking about Shehiya, I don't know. We certainly can't prove it from here. So we need another Raya. Tashma, okay, let's take another Raya. How about where you have a more modern stovetop, in which you now have four kiddeirot on top of your stove. And this took only about 20 years from the time that the Medina was Mukemet, and everything was first a kupa, and then a kira, and finally a four. Now everybody came out, has four burners. Things are really coming up in the world. So over here, back in old Bavel, we have the same problem. Now, how do we make a four-piece kira? We basically take two kirot, put them one next to each other, and we have a wall between them, and now we have a four-place stovetop. But now...
The one that's done in Masada.
Ah. Huh? Masada was a very high-class kitchen, let me tell you something. There you go, but... This is not a good illustration of our problem, because over here they're really disconnected. Yeah, they're separate burners. Each one is basically a kupach la'atzma. But here we're talking about a real kira plus a wall between it, and now another kira. Not like this picture.
You remember the kira that
was in the store? Yeah. Chanina's kira.
Right. So it looked like this from the top.
Uh huh.
Right. It was one top, and literally had two burners, and then replace the put in the thing. So you make something with four.
But that's not what we're talking about.
Two kiras next to each other.
We need to have a wall in between them.
Not between all four, between
no, between the two and the two.
And these two have no wall between them.
Right.
Fix the pleasures.
Obviously, the Frum home in Narada, what do you expect?
That's
they caught on quickly, too. Or maybe even better, Mechuzah, where they know.
They live fancy.
Torot HaBashan. Anyway. So, continues the Gemara. So let's hear the case. So we have the two kirot that are matimot. Achat grufa uktuma, v'achat she'ina grufa ve'ina ktuma. So now one of them has been put out, and one of them is still has its fuel inside. The din is mashina gabea grufa uptuma, ve'in mashina she'ina grufa ve'ina ktuma. Okay, so first of all, it says over here, now you can use the chart that I gave you, because what we're about to do is introduce two different approaches to the machloket of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and it does not fit our construction of the Mishnah. So in other words, as we often find, Rebbe Meir has a totally different approach to what the machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was. And Rebbe Yehuda comes close or identical to our Mishnah, depending on how we're going to learn it. So here the Shaila is like this. You might have thought, of course, that because you have a lot of heat coming from the next door Kira, which was Enagrufa, maybe over there, you do have to be Machmir Kamashron. We treat these two Kirot as separate entities, despite the fact that they're all next to each other and so on. We figure that a person can make that distinction in his mind, and the additional heat doesn't interest him. Okay. So now, ignore the fact that it's Shtei Kirot HaMatimot. In other words, we're not going to look at that as a significant issue. On the contrary, the whole point was to tell us it's not significant. So now, getting on to what you can do with a Kira. It says you can be Mashin. Umahin Mashin. What is it that you can leave on the fire before Shabbos? Beit Shammai says nothing. You can't leave anything on the fire. And Beit Hillel says, well, you can leave the hot water kettle, but you can't leave a cholent. So, chamin avalo tafshil. But if you're akar, what, you took it off of the fire? Ha! Divrei HaKol lo yachzir, divrei Rabbi Meir. Then there's bechlal. Nothing to discuss. Now, this is totally not like our Mishnah. I mean, over here, it doesn't allow chazorah at all. I mean, that's everybody. So our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Meir, is completely obgefret. It's a whole different approach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Beit Shammai says back on the Mashin. So you could be Mashin Chamin, Avalo Tafshio. This is already getting closer to our Mishnah. So you're allowing Shehiyah, but of course, what type of Shehiyah? A Shehiyah only on the Kira that is Goruf Ekatum. You're not allowed to leave anything on the Ena Grufa Ena Ketumah, right? That makes it very clear. So in other words, Beit Shammai is saying what he says in the Mishnah, if we understand that the Mishnah is talking about a Shehiyah and a Grufa Ekatumah. Grufa Ekatumah says the Mishnah, Notnim Alei HaTafshil. What kind of Tafshil? Says Beit Shammai Chami. Not real Tafshil. Now, when it comes to the last part about Chazara, Beit Shammai Omrim, Notlin Avalo Magzirin, you can take it off, but you can't put it back on, Ubeit Hillel Omrim Av Magzirin. Now, the way we had our Mishnah set up with two possibilities. I mean, if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah indeed is the first way we understood it, that there's two separate parts to the Mishnah. The opening part was talking about Shehiyah, not like Hananya, was Matir only where it was Grufa Uktumah, doesn't have any fuel left in it. So then, at least, things make sense, because if you tell me Lishotanam, the Mishnah works out according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's exactly what we said in the Mishnah. Opening is, you can be Masha, but only on the Grufa Uktumah. The opening of the Braitha, to make it very graphic, talks about two kiras side by side, one which is Grufa Viktuma, one which isn't, and says, look, man, you can only use the left side, you can't use the right side. Okay, so now I see it's Deloke Chadenya. What can you be Masha? Exactly the same issue that our Mishnah says, Machlokas Bechamay Beitila. Can you be Mazir? Exactly the Machlokas that our Mishnah says, Machlokas Bechamay Beitila. So then everything works out. Understand that our Mishnah's reflection of how Rabbi Yehuda understands the Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, and everything is perfect. And if you start trying to tell me that when it comes to Shia, everybody is Modi, you can be Masha, even with the Ena Grufa, the Ena Ketumah, and the whole Mishnah here was talking about Chazorah, even in the opening, I mean, and then it breaks down totally. The Mishnah doesn't work out according to anybody. I mean, according to Rabbi Meir, it's totally off the wall. I mean, according to Rabbi Meir holds that according to Beit Shammai, there's no Chazorah even. I mean, there's nothing to discuss. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. I mean, but it's not Rabbi Yehuda either. Matnitin Mani, lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Meir. I mean, if it's Rabbi Meir, so then, okay, first of all, Kashal Beit Shammai Bechoda. I mean, Beit Shammai in our Mishnah says you can do Shehiyah, which is talking about Mashin. So the Shail is, what in the world is Beit Shammai going to say? According to Rabbi Meir, he doesn't hold it's mutter to do anything. Well, cool. That's not what our Mishnah says. Well, the Beit Hillel, the Tarte, according to that, Beit Hillel doesn't make sense in two issues. It says in two issues. It actually means more than two, but we're throwing together as our Mishnah as being Matir Shehiya and even like Hananya B'Sheinu Goruf, correct? And over here, it's saying only Goruf, and furthermore, only Chami. So, but we're going to throw that as one, you know. We're going to start now being mefaret exactly which prat. In other words, the issues. Ula Beit Hillel betarte. So in Beit Hillel, we've got a problem in what it is, and according to this, you're not mash on an enogaruf, and we all that you were allowed to do on an enogaruf. That doesn't work out at all. Rabbi Yehuda, it's a kasha grufa v'ketuma, and if you're going according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's still problematic because the Mishnah says you require grufa v'ketima. And here, Rabbi Yehuda says you require grief of a ketima, and our Mishnah says it's mutter according to everybody completely without grief of ketima, the way that Hananya says. So how can you try to fit Hananya into the Mishnah? It just doesn't. I don't get it. That doesn't add up. The Mishnah's got to be talking about Shehiyah. You're right. But look. The Mishnah may not reflect Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. I could tell you, maybe indeed the Mishnah is talking about Chazara. And when it comes to Shehiya, the halacha is like Hananya. You don't need grief of Iketima. So who does the Tana hold like? Look, the Tana holds in many ways like Rabbi Yehuda, right? So he's several like Rabbi Yehuda Bechod. I mean, he's ready to go according to Rabbi Yehuda partially. And in one element he argues on him, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda in the sense that when it comes to the question of Chamin versus Tapsha, or Notlin or Machzirin, it's exactly the way our Tana says it. That the Tzilo is Matir, the Chamin and the Tapsha, but Shammai is Matir, only the Chamin, and that there's a Heter for Chazora according to the Tzilo, no Heter for Chazora according to the Shammai. That's all good. There's only one issue that he argues it. And he says, our Tana holds that according to the, apparently, the Shehiyah would be mutter even with in a group of a ketuna. The Tana did not severely show himself in Shehiyah and go to Fekotum. And Rabbi Yehuda insists that even Shehiyah requires grief of a ketima. So, it's not that terrible. So, Rabbi Yehuda severely showed Nami go to Fekotum. So we may have yet a third sheet over here. Rabbi Meir's approach, Rabbi Yehuda's approach, which is almost precisely like our Mishnah. Well, actually is our Mishnah, if our Mishnah's talking about Shehiyah. And look, it could be that there's a third sheet that it takes even a step further. That when it comes to Shehiyah, you don't even need grief of the Ketima. So, possibly. Iboilo. Question, so we don't have a clear-cut understanding. But let me ask you something. However it is we're going to come out, I mean, I don't know how we come out yet, but let's assume, you want to take a look at your charts and review it for a moment? And take a look at what we've seen? Let's just look at the top. Hananya was the way that we want to learn that the Mishnah is talking only about Chazara and not referring to Shehiyah at all, right? So that's the only possibility for that first row. Because everybody else holds that you need grief of Iketima. So the only possibility of reading the Mishnah, you don't need grief of Iketima, and the Mishnah was referring only to Chazorah. But when it comes to Shehiyah, there are no limits whatsoever. That's Hananya. What it was that you could put on, okay, that's a machlokas, whether you're allowed to put on tapsho or you're only allowed to put on chami. That's the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. When it comes to Shehiyah by a grufa, doesn't say, so we don't really know. Maybe be even better, right? Maybe Beit Shammai would be motivated that if it's grufa, you could even be masha a tapsho. We don't know. Therefore, the chart says, kolapachot mutak moina grufa. I mean, it may be even better. But there's insufficient data to really fill that box. We know it certainly can't be more chomer than the box to the right. Is that clear? Everything's all right? Okay. Then when it comes to Hachzir, again, everybody is moda, ain't a grufa, forget about it. That's what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is talking about Lachzir. When it's talking about a grufa, that's where the Machlok is. Bechamayim, Bechilel, is it moda, is it us? You're very straightforward. The next shita we had was Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's shita is that, first of all, Chazara is out of the running. Nobody's matir Chazara at all. Completely not like our Mishnah. I don't care how you learn our Mishnah. There's no way to fit Rabbi Meir in. So he's out of the running for the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah definitely says the top box on the left, according to Hanani. I mean, there's no way to make it work out. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. Now, the Shaila, according to Rabbi Meir, is another one. Even when it comes to Shehiyah, he holds that Beit Shammai doesn't allow any type of Shehiyah. Again, not like our Mishnah. Because certainly, no matter how you learn our Mishnah, there's got to be some heter of Shehiyah when it's Gruva. Rabbi Yehuda?
Did he say that it's supposed to be cold food on Shabbos?
Cold food? Why should you have cold food?
You can't be Masha, what do you mean? How are you going to have hatmana?
According to Rabbi Meir, in Beit Shammai, you'd have to do hatmana. In a Dovah Shena Mosifemo.
So how Shabbos are you going to have warm food?
Why not? You have the furnace.
Huh?
You have the furnace.
Furnace is about some fun of sorts.
Huh?
Thermos will keep it warm enough.
Thermos will keep it warm enough. That's what we'll have. Why not? Okay. According to Rabbi Yehuda, which is on the bottom, Rabbi Yehuda actually reflects the alternative explanation of the Mishnah that we didn't take. I mean, for sure. In other words, it was a possibility. It was still entertaining. According to which the Mishnah was talking about Shehiyah, therefore was disallowing any type of Shehiyah on non-grufa the ketumah, which is why the first box is black. Forget about that, because the Mishnah wasn't matred according to anybody. And the Mishnah was matred Shehiyah, both according to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, but there was a machlokas. What? If it's grufa the ketumah. Can you be masha water only, or can you be masha a cholent? When it comes to Chazara, again, they have exactly the same construct that we have on top, Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. So the top box and the top row and the bottom row are the two possibilities that we entertained, basically, in our Mishnah.
Cholent by Beit Shammai would be Asur.
Would be Asur, that's right. It would have to be Hatmana Miba'od Yom and Adavash and Amosifeba, according to the sheet. It's not cold.
Lukewarm.
It's not lukewarm. Besides which, there's obvious solutions. You can cook it with a microwave.
Oh, and I thought you were going to get back to the solar issue of cooking your steak on the solar.
You could do that too. You could cook on the solar oven. That's mutter.
In the winter, you'd have a problem.
Somebody's solar collector.
Good solar oven. You're cooking with a solar oven, and that's radiation. All kinds of wonderful ideas. Listen, what do you think pushed the technology of microwaves and solar heating? It's not Rabbi Meir Shita, leave it to Beit Shammai. It was only the Machmirim that pushed technology.
So they could figure that.
That's right.
Really?
Yes.
And
Bar
Kokhba Caves are 8
stories down Shabbat. Bar Kokhba Caves, by the way, are a place in Banei Yisneir River.
It takes guts to continue after that.
I can't figure out why you keep at it. Okay.
So they were wondering how they cooked, because the Romans would find them. So they found stones. I don't remember what they were called. The Ben Rabbi Lovin told us about it. They found these stones in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. They heated them. Mm-hmm. They did a test. They heated them up on Friday, and they came back Motzei Shabbos. They were still hot.
Heated them in the sun, or
heated them with fire. Mm-hmm. Heated them with a fire, and then left them for more than 24 hours. They were still very, very hot. Mm-hmm. Well, contained heat. I don't remember which. Actually, I don't know if he told me what stone it was. But
it's like the ogre calm that we use.
right? Yeah, and they, if you boil olives and then you make the oil, then it's smokeless
fire.
Smokeless fire. But those two things, how they work in the ground, but the stones retain the intensity.
And the Romans didn't figure out how to use their infrared vision that the Gemara had. On any plants.
The astounding stories and
the system of saving a lot of chashmal and the problems.
What? It used to, supposedly.
Go back to the system
And most people here don't remember that old system. The good old days when we never had chashmal on Friday anyway, because the wonderful Arabs would turn it off in Jordan. You remember those days? We were connected to the Jordanian electrical system here.
Exactly.
Every Arab Shabbos, somehow or other, the electricity would go off.
What year?
What?
When was it?
In the early 80s. Okay.
Having a concert.
Fine. All right. So now we have a question. Mal lismokba. Whatever the case is, I'm not sure now, as Tosin explained, I'm not sure now what we're talking about. If the Mishnah is talking about Shehiya, so then I'm asking about Lagabe Chazora. If the Mishnah is talking about Lahachzir, so I'm asking about Chazor alone. Fine. Or maybe I'm asking Sestosis about a case of Shia where it wasn't cooked. Wasn't cooked like a Machal Ben Drusoy, because after all, the only heter that Hananya gave was when it was fundamentally cooked. So whatever the case is that the Mishnah left us with an Isser, what would be the halacha about putting it next to the oven? That's the Shaila. So, is it dafka, tocha, the gaba? Is it only inside, or maybe on top of the kira that it's asr? Avalismoch ba shapir dami. But to put it inside, and next to it, I mean, would be okay. On the outside. Odio maloshnar, maybe it makes no difference. Aha! Now we should look back to our case of the four top kira. There it says, Shtei kirot ha-matimot, achat grufa v'ktuma, v'chat she'inah grufa v'ktuma. It says, b'feirush, mashina gabe grufa v'ktuma. Now, wait a second over here. If I'm putting it on the one that doesn't have the fuel in it, it's still getting all the heat from the one next door. So apparently we don't care about the fact that it's next to a source of heat. So there you see that, apagav, t'kasolik le'hav l'mi'ida. Even though the heat's coming from the other burner, which I'm not using, apparently that doesn't concern us. So as long as it's not actually on top of that burner, we have no problem. Says the Gemara, well, not necessarily. Because by definition, if you're putting it on top of the kira, then it's exposed to the air. But how about if you put it up against the side and you don't have air around it on all sides? Maybe that would be awesome. So Dilma Shani Hatam Kivan Dimidalia Shalit Bahavira. Maybe since it's on top of the stovetop and it's got air coming across it, then you don't have a problem. But if it would be, in fact, right next to it, it would get very hot, maybe that would be the equivalent of putting it actually on the stovetop. Now, I mentioned to you that a lot of contemporary issues are addressed in our sugya. One very, very famous contemporary issue is based on Rashi. Rashi of here says al-gava has two meanings. Al-gava could mean on the actual sides of the kira, which of course this horrific picture that you have over here doesn't give you any sides. It's more of a schematic. Don't try giving this to your CAMCAD. I mean, this is ridiculous. But Rashi adds another case. He says, let's say you put a piece of metal over the top and you put something over the kira top. That's the problem. So it seems over here that Al-Gaba includes even a blech. That's a classic blech. And we're assuming that that's Osir. That's the equivalent of Al-Gaba. And it was Bishlam, if you would tell me that the way you use a kira is the fire is exposed and the pot is up against the fire, like on ours, and if you want to be gorefit, then you could also just put something on top of it, and that's the same thing. then I say, okay, then that's what we do when we put down a blech, a metal blech or an asbestos blech. But the way Rashi's learning, the al-gabah includes even a blech, and it says al-gabah is asur, from which the Chazon Ish concludes that indeed a blech is asur. And that there's no heter of viewing a fire which is covered by some type of blech as being the equivalent of roof of the ketunah. Seems like a very powerful, powerful deal.
Can you close that again, please?
Why do I have to go over it when you said it? You said it.
I'm just making sure I understand.
No, no. That you won't understand what I say, Mela, but you won't understand what you say, that's pretty well impossible. Even I can't understand what you say. So since over here it says that if, according to Rashi, al-gabah is certainly awesome, that, and Rashi says al-gabah means even if you cover the fire of the kira with a piece, and the only time, indeed, we do see later that there is a heter, but that's only if you take a pot, put it on the kira, and then you put another pot on top of that pot, which we do today as well. Something that you normally wouldn't be allowed to do on Shabbos. You could do it if it's on top of another pot that's been put upside down. But you can't do it just by putting down a piece of silver foil. So over here, the same thing. What you're doing is telling me, okay, I'll put a piece of silver foil over a burning fire, or a piece of asbestos, and then I'm allowed to do what I want. Nonsense. Rashi says that's exactly the case of al-gabah, which is usher. So it's the Chazon Ish, there it is, black and white. I mean, how can you just put something on top of a fire?
It's returning.
No, even, depending if you learn, like, but in the case where it isn't cooked well, but depending what the case is. Remember, there's a lot of factors. We'll see later today, we rely on the Chananya. But then the Shaila is Mitztamik V'Yafalo, Mitztamik V'Ralo. I mean, these are all issues that still need Hezbollah.
How do you understand Rashi that he used blood?
So some understand, and I shouldn't say some, almost everybody argues on the Chazon Ish. From top to bottom, single modern person argue on the Chazon Ish, including Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, including Rav Moshe, and so on, and say that the meaning of Rashi is where this was the covering of the kira, such as we have a grating over our gas. So that is not a blech. That's al-gabah.
An open type thing.
Yeah, like our grates, basically. So they're in avinami. But if you put on something that you normally don't have, the issue is an open or closed. Then even if it's open, it's the equivalent of grief of a ketima, because ketima doesn't mean you got to take away the fire completely. Means you got to cover it. If it's a question of mirzik and mavashel, this is not what you would normally use for bishul. Therefore, it's not mirzik and mavashel. As usual, you said the opposite of what I said in order to explain what I said. I said if it's a question of mirzik and mavashel, then it's not mirzik and mavashel. If it's a shayla of sheva yovel lachtor v'gichalim, then it's what you said, that you did an act that showed you're mesalik yourself from the activity. Right, which, by the way, many are makbid because of this, that if you put on one of these, which they sell, these things that have the little holes in them, and you put it on top, right, that then if you adjust the fire, you can't use it. Because then clearly you weren't solid yourself from it. Because now you're still, so then we have a chashash that you can adjust the fire.
What is this that goes on the top?
What's a blech?
No, with the holes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying that's very normal that people actually cook with that thing. They try to use it. It's like a blech type thing, but it's not used by Jews for Shabbos. You can buy it in any household thing. It just spreads the flames out more smoothly a little bit. That's what they're really made for.
Right, I think.
So, I just want to point out. One fascinating alternative approach. The fascinating alternative approach is that there's bichlal no problem of cooking on an open fire like ours of Shehiya, and it doesn't even need grief. Why is that? Because, as some of the modern folks can bring, including remotion to things, because you see, there's no gezeira in all of these cases that maybe you'll go out and bring wood and be most of it on the fire. It's only a question of what's there. So those type of flames in which what's there needs to be worked on and so on, there you have the gezeiros of Shem. I come in contact with the flames. When you're talking about turning up a flame, where that's the equivalent of bringing new wood. We're not choshish for that. We don't have to be metapol. We're not choshish you're going to go out and actually turn on a fire on Shabbos. You're going to bring new gas. That's the equivalent of bringing new wood. Maybe bechlal it's mutter. Who says that there's any problem at all? And certainly if it's up as high as it goes, you're going to say there's a gzera, you'll make it lower, but you're going to make your own new gzera. And why would we have such a chashash? So it could be bechlal, the whole thing doesn't even apply. In the opposite direction. I think the pashta says that if it's an open fire, I mean, it's not even considered to be grief of the ketima to cover it. I mean, you didn't do anything that affects the flame. So it runs the gamut.
See, electric
oil, I mean, that's a general question, whether you want to treat electricity as if it's a fire. Well, we know that other sources of heat are not included in the dinim of Dishon. Right? In other words, we know that if we use nuclear energy, so we cook by the sun, there's no issue in using nuclear energy directly, that kind of heat. That we have a gezeira, if you use hot water that was cooked in a nuclear reactor, that's called toldash, such as chametveria type of things and so on. Okay, all those type of things are at the most gezeiras. The issue that you have with toldash, chama, that's difficult to know. You like we have nowadays, we have the hot water heating system, in which the water is heated by the sun. So the Rabbanim were gozer, because how can, when you see the hot water, you don't know whether it was cooked by the sun or was cooked on a fire. So it was gozer, but mi'ikra din. I mean, it's not simply the question of heating something that's going to give it a denomination, right? Okay, so these were all the questions that originally came up by electricity. And the electricity b'chol is one of those things in which there was a haskama that it would mean the end of Shabbos if we started treating it as something else. Because, I mean, then, you know, forget it. I mean, we don't use Aish anymore, so we'll forget all about that, too. And, you know, so it's just not a guy to deal with. Well, maybe when you come to the Prote Dinim and so on and so forth, and the, you know, questions of where something is a groma and it's made a miskavin and blah, blah, then already you get into the shilas, whether we should treat it seriously or, you know, recognize that it's an extension of the Dinim of Aish. But we certainly can't go around blanketing a heter of electricity. I think that's subconsciously that was the just really taken for granted by all the post, which is a beautiful thing. It's like that certain responsiveness in low Navina, but ain't a Vina, you know, which is the way Kleistrol views it, you know. I get it. Fine. Do we have another Raya? So far we don't know. Can you put something up against the side? We don't know. Maybe it's only on top that we're not chayshish for the extra heat, right? Toshma, Yom Rav Safra, Yom Rav Chiya. Katzma, if you put the ashes, spread the ashes over the coals. And now, Nidlapta, it started burning again. That happens. Somchimla, you can put something up against the side. Umekayim alei, you can leave something that was there on top, notlimi mena, take it off, machzirin la, put it back on, but anyway, it says over here, you can be somech, but only if you had originally been katma, right? So shmame adli smoch nami, it's dafka, if you were katma, but lo katma, if you didn't do something that showed that you were putting out the fire, then not. Ah, come on, man, I mean, if you're going to say that, so you can say the same thing about notli mimena. In one of the cases says over here, you can take it off. So you're going to tell me, you can take it off only if you were kotei. You can't take it off. Whoever said that? Well, if something was on a fire, I can't take it off? Why can't I take it off? So it doesn't mean that I can take it off only if I was kotei. The reason it says you can take it off is because basically Tana Notlin Mishum Machzirin. You want to talk about, you can take it off, you can put it back on. Okay, so fine. But it doesn't mean I can only take it off in this case. So maybe somchim is the same thing. You could put it up against it, which of course you could have done even if it wasn't kotel. And you could even put it on top because you were kotel. Maybe that's all that it means. So hachanami tana somchim mishum mekaimim. Oh, now wait a minute. If you want to talk about putting something back on, you have to tell me you took it off, don't you? You could say. And you could take it off and put it back on. What would you say? And you can put it back on. When you can put it back on, it is on. So as you were saying, no tlino, no serene. That's all the same thing. I mean, what do you tell me? You could be somchim, you can put it on top, but there's no connection between the two. Why mention somchim? If you could have done somchim even if you hadn't been caught in my head? I don't think that that's a valid comparison at all. I mean, in order to put it back on in the place where it was, you have to first be no tail. So therefore, tana notlim mishum makzirim elahacha somchim b'chad makom u'mekaimin b'chad makom. It's two completely separate issues. We must be on the side or to put it up on top. Why would it say it? Now, although we can't prove it, in other words, don't think that this is now definitive.
They don't know.
Because what it means is, I find it difficult to accept that distinction. But, I mean, I can't prove 100% that we don't throw it in since we already threw in Notar Mazir, maybe we throw in something. Okay, do we have 100% proof? My Aviyam. Do we have 100% proof about the issue as to whether you could be Masmech? Toshma. Ki Rashi Zikur Begefet Uve'etzim Somchinla Ve'ein Mekaimim Ele Inken Grufa Uktuma. By the way, I forgot to mention something. I started talking about contemporary issues, and I left one very important one out. Tocha.
In the oven.
In the oven. What about them? In other words, what about if there's a question of here, Shia, or Chazara, for that matter, on a groof of the Ketumah? When the ash is covered in our ovens and so on. Can you put it back in the oven?
The oven's still on, but it's...
Assuming you've dealt with thermostat issues, if there are any, or whatever, you have it on the Pulav Shabbat.
Most of the Nuhim have a Platap Shabbat in the oven.
In the oven, a Platap Shabbat.
But the oven's water off.
The Shabbos mode.
Yes, the Shabbos mode. That's not quite a Platat Shabbat. What it means is that it doesn't work on the thermostat.
It just stays on.
At a very low level.
It's covered.
Yes, but it's tocha. You're right, but it's still tocha. So that's the question: is it mutter to put things back inside of an oven, and the same way you can put something on top? And we were machalik over here by the kira between on top. Hatmona, it's not, because it doesn't touch. It's not called insulating. Putting something in an insulated room or in a hot box, inverted refrigerator, is not hatmona. It has to be on it. So that's the shiloh, whether this is the equivalent of tocha. There are many who aser putting something inside of the oven because of this question. Of the tocha of the kira.
Putting back in.
If the oven is working, can you put it in? No tlin, we don't have a problem with no tlin.
Before Shabbat, you can put it in. Take it out and not put it back.
Take it out. Again, assuming it's no problem being mavir it when you open up the door. Right? Okay. There's different. We'll get into the nafkaminas because over here, of course, we have to analyze the question of the comparison of kira, toch kira, to toch our oven. Is it similar to tanur? Is it similar to kira? That we haven't really dealt with any of that yet. We're still talking about kira. So I just want to point out that this gemara is actually seriously used in that question. And the truth is, it's a machloket aposkin, how to deal with our tanurim. Many people are makbid not to put it back in. And they have plenty of shochitas that he saw made on. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
Just to why you brought up the question of the thermostat inside the...
I didn't bring it up. I said, assuming we've done with it. So we've done with it.
So do you want me to leave it alone?
Yeah. So now Tashma. Let's see if we can bring a riot to our smicha. Kirashi zikua begefet ube itzim somchima ve'in mekadim ela im ken gufa uftuma. So now we have here a repetition of the dinim of kira of kiyun only on gufa v'ketuma, and the gechalim she'imamu, if the gechalim themselves went out, or you spread natana le anorech al pishtan daka, that's the equivalent of tuma. It doesn't mean that you have to put it on, then go out themselves. So what is the implication over here? Somchin la, but in mekaymi. So in other words, we're matir being somech, even though there was no pu'ula of ketima, correct? That's what it says, somchin la. But ein mekaymim ela. So apparently those who aser, and that doesn't concern us, that it says aser to be mekaymim. We know there's a big machlokas, chanani, the rabbanan, chanani, the different person. That's not our business. The question that we wanted to know is, where you hold its aser, is it mutter to be somek? That's the only question. So here we have an example of someone who holds that a particular thing is aser. Nonetheless, it says somchima, even though there is no ketima. So apparently, smicha is mutter. Tosfos says, okay, we have established that smicha is mutter, but don't bring a raya from here that means smicha to an open fire, let's say, is mutter. Because that certainly you can't derive. I mean, we may be more machmir when you're putting something close to an open fire for various gezeiros, and you can't derive it from here. That we'll have to see later on. But here we have the kira, the walls of the kira are mafsik between whatever's fire is inside the kira, and here it's saying that that's mut. Omri v'yitr banachmini omri v'osha. Katma v'huv ara. Suppose you did your ketima and the thing burst back into flames again. Mashina le'achamin shuchmu kol tzorchan v'tafshil shebirshel kol tzorchan. So you'd be allowed now to do shihiyah on it as long as it's completely cooked and as long as the water was totally boiled.
Keep these things that are on it.
Yeah. What do you mean keep it on? Or leave it on?
Put it on.
Mashino has to put it on even before Shabbos.
Put it on
before Shabbos. Because you were coating. You were coating.
It's covered fire, you put it on the stuff. Now the fire bursts into flames.
Even if you didn't put on the stuff.
Before that, sorry?
Even if you didn't put on the stuff. You did your act of ketima. Ketima means to put things on top of it. Put ash on top of
it.
Well, every ketima can look at. Fire departments spend days and days dealing with things that are already caught to them. They have a tendency to burst back into flame. So shumamina, but the chora you see from over here, that mitstamek v'yafelo mutar. You'll notice that all he said was that if it was tafshil shebishel kol tzorcho, okay, it was cooked already, but it still can take advantage of additional cooking. So it's a chon. It's cooked, it's not raw, it's completely cooked. The longer it stays up there, the more chonti it gets. So that's called mitstamek v'yafelo. Because if it's mitstamek v'ralo, I mean, what would be the question? And l'chora there's no chiddush. This is how Rashi learns. Tosfos doesn't like that at all. I mean, what do you mean, what's the chiddush? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, they asserted it where it's in a grufa, even if it was mitstamek v'ralo, maybe it's not in a grufa, because it was nitlapta. I mean, difficult to say that. But Rashi takes it as a pashtus that there'd be no point in even making this halakha. But wouldn't be to tell me that there's a chashash. You want your chalent to be more cooked. Mitztamek means essentially keep shrinking and becoming more and more concentrated, and that's good for it. So then says the Gemara, well, no, wait a minute, over here you were kotein. Hold on a second. You're trying to bring a raya that mitztamek v'yofalo is mutter. I mean, maybe the only reason it's mutter is because you did the ketima. So fine, so it burst out into flame, but you did do a ketina. Well, I understand. Are you telling me now that you hold that ketima is irrelevant if it was huvara? So then, Maila Meimah, then what's the chiddush? Everybody agreed, even if the Mishnah was Shaloka Hananya, that if you did ketima, that it was okay to put on the tafshir. We're not going to deal with Beit Shammai here. Well, what do you mean? Huvara is strichale. The chiddush is that even though it burst into flame again, and you might think that that canceled out the ketima, from Ashbalan, that we still view this as a ketima. Ma'adatema, kiban shuluvara. Hagalala milta kamaita, you might have thought it goes all the way back the way it was before. We can effectively ignore the ketima. Kamashbalan, that's the chiddush. Furthermore, Amar Rabba Baruchan and Rabbi Yochanan, it sounds exactly the same.
What sense does that make? Because you've got a fire again. You know, sprinkle, sprinkle, and it's... I did my mitzvah, but it didn't affect the fire.
Yes, but it certainly affected your das, and it certainly affected whether this is the norm and how it's mixing of actual. Doing your thing is very important here, because that's our problem. Basically, these are all gezeiros, they're not isurim. So when you do your thing, like in many gezeiros, you put up a little air, put up a little kaira, put up a little action, and that's enough.
So the effect is not necessarily putting out the fire, it's showing that you don't want the fire.
Right. Which is what we do with the black.
Make a difference, really.
Exactly what we do with the black. You got a great fire there. And nonetheless, you did your little thing.
If the fire burned through the black, you would say, oh, I put the black
sure right. Sure you would. Absolutely.
That's what you're saying.
Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chaim. As a matter of fact, the black is okay even if it's a chatchila, it has holes for the fire.
Put a screen on, screen
yeah, and so you're not cooking normally. You showed that you don't want the fire to get through.
And you do that purposefully?
You put a
black on, it's going to burn out, and then
you'll
have a regular
soap.
That's also your
job. That's not exactly
the feeling
of God. Well, I think we really, yeah, but I think we have to get into it. Omar Rabba Barbachan, Om Rabbi Yochanan. Now, this seems to be very repetitious. Katma buhuvara. Mashina leachamin shuchmutzo kol tzorchan v'tafshil shibishel kol tzorchan v'afilu gichalim shal rotem. I don't care, even if you've got the gichalim and they're made out of rotem wood and that thing, it keeps its heat, it keeps oxidizing for days. You never get that cool. So shmamin again mitztamik v'yafel mutar. So apparently it's okay. You're telling me that there's no problem of Shigia, even though I am very concerned to have my cholent well shrunken and concentrated. That's not a problem. The note that we seem to have made a distinction between Mevushal Kol Tzorcho and Mitztamek V'Yafalo. Because one could say, and indeed there are some who come to this conclusion, including the Tosis, that according to Hananya, the very fact that I'm allowed to have something which is only kemachal ben drusai, right? So it's only one third cooked. I mean, that's the ultimate mitzvah v'yafalo. I mean, for God's sake, I mean, who wants to eat it like that? I'm no mobster. I like my food properly cooked, and therefore, according to Hananya, this would not be an issue. However, the Baal HaMor makes a very clear distinction between them. There's two issues. Is it cooked or is it not cooked? Which includes the sub-questions of how well cooked. But then there's another issue. Assuming that it would then have been finished cooking, is it advantageous to continue cooking? Not if it's time to be a fellow. So it's something that is already cooked, and you wouldn't want it to overcook. It may certainly be less chomer than something that may already be completely cooked, but you do want it to overcook, which could go on forever. So even though one might have concluded that according to Hananya, everything mitztamek v'yafalo is a normal case of a ma'achal ben drusai, according to the Baal HaMor, that's not the case at all. There's two separate issues, and we have to break up that. We had one parameter of the extent of the cooking. We have to break that up into two parameters: the extent of the cooking and the likelihood that you would want it to overcook. The separate parameter: yafalo or any yafalo. Oh boy, this is bad news. If Professor Spolsky is working out, then we are too late. This has never happened in the history of the DAF. Happened once. So now this seems to be telling me that Mitztamik V'yofalo is mutter. Well, no. Shani Acha the Kotma. I mean, he also said the case was Kotma V'huvara. So then again, I mean, if it was Kotma, there's no Kiddush. We agreed that if you were quoting it, even the most Homer interpretation of the Mishnah allows you to be Shoah on Kotma. No, Huvara is Trichale. You needed to tell me that even though it burst into flames again, it's still okay. But you just said that before. I mean, so then I know how. Why does Rabbi Yochanan have to tell me something that we already learned basically from Rav Abba Bar Nachmani? I mean, we're assuming, the Ritva explains, we're assuming that he heard him, even though it's a Shmaitza. This type of thing that gets around right away. I mean, you know, Rabbi Yashin gives up psychos all over the internet. I mean, he must have picked it up. So why did he bother mentioning it? Because he added a Chiddush. Dichalim Sharotim, it's Rikhalim. Let me tell you, even though you're using Dichalim Sharotim, you might have thought that Dichalim Sharotim, that is, for all intents and purposes, a foregone conclusion, like Dr. Feinstein's question. Let's put up the kind of bluff that's going to make. That's exactly what happens over here. A guy puts a little bit of ashes over Dichalim Sharotim, of course it'll be over. So Kamashman, even Gecholim Sharotam, it's also okay. She's taking one step further, but in a Finami, he's not coming to tell me the Chiddush that it's not that you don't need Ketima. Amr of Sheshes, Amr of Yochana, Kira she sikua begefetu beitzin, Mashina leachamit shelo uchmu kol tzorchan, the tapshil shelo bishel kol tzorchan, okar lo yavzirat shigropai chitenefer. Oh boy, oh boy. Now this Rabbi Yochana, I mean, obviously, I mean, this is taking it further than the previous Rabbi Yochanan. As Rashi says, we're going to have to say that it's different Talmidim. Rabbi Bar Bachana quotes Rabbi Yochanan one way, Rabbi Sheshes quotes Rabbi Yochanan in another way. Here, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you can even leave as something that required additional cooking. So in other words, how is he learning? Pure Hananya, right? And there'd be no problem, and he obviously understands that Kasavar Matnitin Lahazir Tanan. He understands that the Mishnah is referring to Chazorah, and when it comes to Shehiyah, you don't even need grief of Iketima, and you don't need that it should be Mevushal called Tzuchal. All you need is Mevushal, Kemaycho Ben Drusoy, and everything is fine. Havalishot, Mashinapa Bishen, and Gorufa, and Okatum. Oh, my Rabbi says, Rabbi, what, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly what Rabbi Yochanan is trying to do. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan is what? He's trying to tell us, like, the bottom line, halacha on this. I mean, anybody who knows the Mishnahs knows that there are other Mishnayot that essentially tell us exactly what he just told us. Lishotanin, I'm going to show you in another Mishnah that it says, Beferush, you don't need grief of Ektima for Shia. The other halacha of the idea of the lo yavzir ela in kain, also obviously that it says right over here. So the lishotanina, where do I claim that there's a Mishnah that tells us exactly what Hananya said? It says, Eino tinimet apat betoch atanur im chashecha v'lo charara agabe gechalim ela kitei sheyikrumu paneha. Amen. Yikrumu paneh is like the first stage. This bread needs to be baked through. You're telling me as long as it gets a little bit hard, so it's got some crust, it's okay if I put it in before Shabbos. So I'm going to be leaving it in. It's going to continue to cook, and I'm going to be eating basically something that's cooked on Shabbos. You're telling me it's okay for the Shia, huh? That's what you're saying? So how karmu paneh? In other words, once it's karmu paneh, sure, it's mutter. I don't know. I don't need Rabbi Yochanan to tell me what the bottom line is if I have a Mishnah that says so. And as far as lahavzir, that you can't put it back on the fire unless you did grief of ikatima, that's our Mishnah. I don't care how you learn our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says b'feirush b'tilel omrim ab mavzirim. And what is Beis Hillel referring to? To the Mishnah that was discussing ela im kein garav b'katan. So the lokashor of Beit Hillel, the group of the Ketumah, Avo Bishena Gufa Ketumah, whoa. So what's Rav Sheshes quoting of Yochanan for about something that any idiot knows? No, Rav Sheshes was coming to tell me the Diyuk in the Mishnah, Kamashima. I mean, it's not necessarily all that clear that Karmu Paneh is Mutter. So he says, well, what do you mean it isn't all that clear that Karmu Paneh is Mutter? What do you think it is then? That's not something that requires anybody to point it out. He must mean, and one must mean over here, our mission isn't clear. In other words, that Reb Sheshet was coming to explain our Mishnah, that the Chisuri B'chasra, and it's going Ali B'chananya, that whole piece, that's what he was referring to. Exactly, and it's still mutter. That's the whole point. You see from here that Reb Yochanan's psak is a Beferish Mishnah. All right, I'm going to let you go since I seem to be losing your concentration here, but we'll catch up, Ezrat Hashem. Oh, yes. You'll be sorry. Very good, very good. Lama Zion. Okay, so we were up to the Tashma. We want to know whether the mission is going like Hananya, in which case it was referring to Chazora, and only Chazora, but she has Mutter, or whether it's going on Shehiyah itself, Shaloki Hananya. Tashma. Okay, Toshma may be from here. Shtei kirot amatimot achat grufa v'ktuma, achat she'ina grufa ve'ina ketuma, mashin agabe grufa ktuma ve'in mashina she'ina grufa ve'ina ketuma. Uma hein mashin, Beit Shammai omrim, nothing. Ubeit Hillel omrim, chamin avalo tafsha. Akar, forget about it. Divrei akol lo yas, divrei bimeir. Rebbe Yehuda omer, Beit Shammai omrim, chamin avalo tafshil. Ubeit Hillel omrim, chamin v'tafshil. Beit Shammai omrim, notnin avalo marzirin. Beit Hillel omrim, af marzirin. Allo. So then, matnitin money, Rabbi Yehuda. Eliyamid lagzir tanan. Matnitin money. Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, of course. I mean, kasha le Beit Shammai, bechada Beit Hillel, betarte. But even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's kasha. It's all the same, except for grufa v'ketuma. So our mission would be saying even sheina grufa v'ketuma. Rabbi Yehuda saying dafka grufa v'ketuma. Liyola meimalacha lagzir tanan. And indeed, it's not like anybody. But Tana Didan Savalak Rebuta Bechada, or Padakala Bechada. Savalak Rebuta Bechada, meaning on all of the issues, Chamin, Tarsha, Nota, Magzirin. The one question that he's taking it a step further, Padakala Bechada. Dilo Tana Didan Savalishot, Apopisha Eno, Goruva Katum, and Rebuta Savalishot, Nami, Goruva Katum, only, and Ilolo, Iboilo. Maul is smoke in the cases that it's Osaranta. Tocha begaba asura, but it's more shapir. Don't you know the other one? Toshma. Shteki rotamatimot achat grufa uktuma. Achat she'ina grufa uktuma. Mash'in agabe grufa uktuma. V'yapa agabe kasovek v'yavola midach. Meh. Dil mashane atab kivin the medallia. Shalik ba'avira. We want to know up close. Toshma. The omrev safra omrev chia katma v'nit lapta. Somchim la, umekamina la, notlimi mena marzin la. Anyway, shmamina li smoch nami is only katma in below katma lo. Oh yeah? Well, the taimich notlimi mena, also diktani, is only katma in low katma lo. Since when? Elatana notlimi shum marzirim, so fine, akanamikana somchim, mishumikamim. Ah, yashtahatam, notlinu marzirim bechad makomu. You have to say notlin if you're going to say marzirim. Elohaka, what? Somchim b'chad makom, b'kaimim b'chad makom, why mention it? Okay, but l'maisa b'yavi, Allah. Tashma. Kira shi sikua b'gefet u'beisim. Somchim la, ve'in m'kaimim, ela im kein grufa u'ktuma, yechalim she'amamu, o she'natana le'a ne'oret shal pishtan daka, harei hi kiktuma, which proves, somchim la, but only grufa u'ktuma is required for kiyum, not for somchim. Omre bitte banach meni omre ba shekat ma bu vara mashina le kham chukh mu kol tsorkhan betavshir she bishel kol tsorkho shma mina that even though it's with stomach the yakhlo it's mutar but shani akh de katma so yaki mai la memra No, Ruvara is Sri Kalima, Adatema. Kivan Juvara, Hadal the Miltaka Maita Kamashmalan. Omarabha Babakan Amrad Yokanan Katmabuvara. Mashina Le Kamin Shukmu Kotzurchan, Vitafshir Shabishel Kotzurchan, Vafil Gekalim Shorotam. So Shmamanam is telling Yafla Mutar. Shani Akhade Katma, so Yafimalamima. Uvara is Sri Kalima. So I know how. Gekalim Shorotam is Sri Kalima. Omrav Sheshes, Omrav Yochanan Kirish, Yisiku, Begefta, Beitzi, Mashina, Lea, Chamin, Shalom, Uchmu, Kotzorchan, Tavshir, Shalom, Bishel, Kotzorcho, but Akar, Lo, Yachzir, Achi, Yigrof, O, Aji, Tein, Efer. Clearly, Kasover, Matnitin, Lachzir, Tznan, Avalishot, Mashin, like Chananya, Abba, Bishen, Ogaruf, Vein, Akatun. Omar, Rava, so big deal. Tarvayo, Tnani, Lishot, Tnina, So they not need the part to talk at an urim kashikha. Vlokarara gabeke kalim. Elekadeshi yikmupanea. Now clearly, hokarmupanea, shori lahaz. Shori. Lahaz in namin, that's our Mishnah. Tzrita. Betilel omrim atbagzirin. Liatkan lokasho betilel al begufa vektuma. Abu bishena gufa vektuma lo. So what's the point? The point for Pshashis was the namid yukramat nitin kamashmalan. That's it.
Okay.